Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Couple of developments in two case states, Arizona and Pennsylvania. Connor, we have somebody in the line. Two developments in Arizona and Pennsylvania. One good, one not so good, but I think it's an opportunity. In Pennsylvania, we have nine Republicans who have now endorsed the Democratic candidate, Josh Shapiro, because they've labeled Doug Mastriano as an extremist. He's the Republican nominee. He's the one who is like a Mike Lindell type of guy, somebody like a Mike Flynn type of guy, who would simply certify any election for Republicans. And the rest of the Republican Party is getting very tired of that. This is a great development for Josh Shapiro, the Attorney General, a very honest guy. And if he wins, then he has a veto power, and Pennsylvania is in good hands. Conversely, in Arizona, there's a fear of a Trump triumvirate. There's a primary coming up. Carrie Lake, a former anchorwoman, sort of like a Rebecca Clayfish, is contesting the primary for governor. If she gets in, she's like Doug Mastriano. She will only certify Republicans. And they have an attorney general who's right wing. And then the secretary of state is being contested by a good Democrat, but they are in the balance. So keep that in mind. We're going to the lines. Rocky of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Rocky?
Good morning, Matt. Yeah, I was thinking about something with automatic weapons that are killing all the people that, besides, you know, the mass murders, just people in general. Why can't the president put out a motion to have a buyback? You're rewarded $1,000 more than the value of the current value of your gun, and they get shipped to Ukraine. And there's a $1 million lottery involved with this, where one of the lucky guys that brings their gun in gets $1 million. And the guns get put to work killing people that deserve to die. Why can't we do something like that? Why can't we make a national act like it's, no more of these weapons will be sold in America. Buy the ones that the gun companies have now and send them to Ukraine. Why can't we arm a nation that needs it? And one more thing, why don't we put out a Bin Laden extraction reward for Putin? $10 million reward, rubles, cash, gold, for whoever brings them down.
Yeah, I like your style, Rocky. I like your way of thinking, and I'm going to explore it a little bit, and I'm going to do gun buybacks, and I'm going to do Putin. On the gun buybacks, there have been buybacks. Canada did it. There are cities that do it. You'd want something, if you give $1,000 for an AR-15, and people can buy an AR-15 for $800, they'll sell it, then they'll go buy another one, sell it, and so forth. You would have to have some mechanism where if they sold it back, they were prohibited from getting another one. That's number one. Number two, I like the idea. That's an excellent idea, that they then be put in a lottery, and for every, 100,000 that are sold back, there'd be a number pulled, and the guy would get $1 million. I like that a lot. So there would have to be a provision that they couldn't buy another one. Now, the problem with that is federally licensed gun stores would run a check and not sell it to them. But right now, you can get AR-15s, in the mail. You can get them at gun shows where nobody asks how old you are or if you have a felony. There are no controls at all. And eventually, 3D printers just print these things out. So, I like the idea because it gives some remedy to people who have one and don't want to be told they can't have it. On the other hand, I think ultimately the thing to do on that one is to make sure that AR-15 style weapons are classified as military weapons. We already do that with a lot of other weapons. Why not with them? Why not with them? So excellent, excellent thought, Rocky. Thank you. On Putin, here's the problem. If we put out a $10 million bounty on his head or $100 million, he'll put one out on Biden's head and on our congressman. We'll put him out on the Duma. And then they have agents in this country right now. One of the things that I think we have got to do a better job of, although Biden's done a superb job in general in containing them, is totally ostracize them. No more visas from any for any Russian. Any Russian in the country who isn't a citizen, expelled. No more shipments by anybody to Russia of any of our from our corporations. Many have discontinued it voluntarily, but for instance, our pharmaceutical companies still send them material, still send them stock. Tell them they can't do it. You can do that by executive order, and people say, oh, that's inhuman, but they are bombing hospitals and they are bombing medical supplies of the Ukrainians. And you can tell them when they stop doing that, we'll start sending it again. No foodstuffs go to them. Nothing goes to them. Right now, we have an embargo on things like fuel. Make it complete. Make the Russian a pariah. They have a Nazi state. Remember, this is a country. Everybody goes, oh, well, you know, weren't they on our side in the Second World War? No, they weren't. They started out on Hitler's side. Stalin entered into a mutual non-aggression pact with Hitler back in 1940 at the start of the war. And they're going to divide up Poland. Then Hitler stabbed him in the back and invaded Russia. And right up to the end, Stalin refused to consider it, even though his intelligence said that's what they were going to do. Stalin was a Nazi. Putin is a Nazi. What do I mean by that? Nazi is a term from 80 years ago. So yeah, he was not a member of the Nazi party. But they believe in genocide. They believe in murder, torture. They believe in theft, invasion. They believe in submission of invaded populations. They are Nazis in effect. But the way you do it, I think, is not do a bounty on them, but make things so intolerable in their country that their fellow Nazis, who are all bad news as well and have no conscience and commit war crimes, commit genocide, say it's too painful to commit war crimes and genocide anymore for the time being. We're going to withdraw from Ukraine. Withdraw from Ukraine. And one of them is going to have to take care of Putin if they really want to have power. That's my view on that. And by the way, the business of their invasion of Ukraine, I mean, as you know, Ukraine had been part of Poland, so had Lithuania, back in the 17th and 18th centuries. They broke away. The Ukrainians are a very, very strong people, very nationalistic people in a good way. And they have shown magnificent resolve, and I simply do not want to see them recede in our consciousness and recede in our attention as we look to other things that, say, the Supreme Court is doing in the upcoming elections. Because it doesn't stop with Ukraine. It's going to be Moldova next. And you may say, okay, no Moldova. Well, then it's going to be the Russian-speaking populations of Estonia. And there is a Russian-speaking population of Estonia. And there are Russian speakers in Latvia and Lithuania. And it'll always be constant press, and threats of nuclear war. This has to be resolved in Ukraine, and we can't have nuclear war. But the Ruskies have lost a lot of people. They're using fairly, by modern standards, ancient ammunition and technology. But they've got to be starved further. There should be no Russians in this country who are not citizens. And the ones that are should be told that they are not going to betray us to Russia. Why do I say that? Because in several cases, they have found Russians, one in New Jersey, who's an American citizen now, who's conspiring to avoid the sanctions, going through Bulgaria and getting forbidden merchandise to Russia. Russia is a pariah state. It's a terror state. It's a genocidal state. That isn't to say all the people in Russia are bad. I met many of them in 1997 with the delegation from the Justice Department. And there are some very fine people. But one of the things I will say is that they have a very, very bad self-image and inferiority complex. One of them came up to me after the a talk I gave, said, "Mr. Flynn, you had some very fine things to say about our culture, about our authors and musicians in the 19th century. If what you said is true, why are we so backward?" And I gave him, you know, what do you say to something like that? So I try to tell him, basically, you know, you have a good country, you've had bad leadership for a long time, now you have good leadership, or at least better than you had. You got rid of the czars, you got rid of Lenin, you got rid of Stalin, you got rid of communism, and now you're hopefully on the way to democracy. That was the thaw, that was the eye of the hurricane. I was very, very fortunate to be able to go there during that time period. And I liked the people, the individual people I met. But they have had vicious leadership since the 10th century. Well, how do you deal with that? It's a very, very difficult. I'm getting carried away. We're going to a break. We're going to the end of the show. Great show. Great call-ins as always. Matt Flynn Direct will be back. Same time, same place tomorrow. And I'm signing off for today.